Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You want to stand up and come over here?
All right, yeah.
This is a Jack Harlow video.
That Mitch sent us last night.
Are you sure you didn't watch this?
I promise I didn't watch it. I don't click Strebel. On Jack Harlow.
And James Strebel.
Jack Harlow gets a pair of ladies' thong underwear. He pulls them out. They say, Mr. Harlow. He looks at the lady that gave them to him, and he puts them up to his nose.
He sniffed them. He did the sniff.
What a disgusting, he did the sniff.
With Strebel.
Random stranger undergarments. He's weird, man. He's a weird dude.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, so 4 o'clock hour blitz coming up here in just a second. 1 hour from now, Rick Bosich joins us. WDRB, tons of things to tell you about. Bellarmine basketball is back on. What is it? Friday? I'm looking at my own promo sheet here. What are we talking about?
Saturday.
The Knights are not back on the road at Purdue. The promo sheet's a mess right now. Don't tell Patty Ice. Oh. He'll get mad.
He's busy too.
Where are they? Who are they at on Saturday?
Now at I have to Murray look at State.
It. At Murray State.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go, Bellarmine.
Let's go, Bellarmine.
Please,
yes.
Good God.
Yes.
Mitchell Hannigan will be. Mitchell Hannigan. So we'll have that over 93.9.
He said Mitch is going to the game.
He should block him from going to the game.
Yeah. Should. Hang his picture around. Don't let this redheaded stranger in. Keep him out.
Absolutely love it. So that's coming. And then there you go. Katz and Robert Morris. Strebel skipping out on that one. Be Jason Entz hanging out with
yeah.
you. Have you guys decided where you and your wife are going on your big date?
We're still talking about it.
Don't say tumbleweed.
There might be
we're done.
There might be two dates this weekend. There might be one on Friday, and there might be one on Sunday too.
Where on Sunday? A little pumpkin patch?
No, no.
I thought you'd be watching the Browns game.
Some friends. No, it's gonna be in the evening. Some friends of ours said, "Hey, y'all want to go out Sunday night?
You
for
never
a little
go,
dinner?
So and no round of shots." So,
I didn't even think about that. Possibly not. Yeah,
we know.
It's dinner with the wife. I'm lucky to get one date a month. I'm getting two. I'm taking advantage.
Let's bring in Ty Spalding from Cardinal Sports, U of L rivals. Ty, it's been a mess today. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just making sure Strebel has recovered from that last haymaker that dropped on him. Just want to make sure he's doing all right.
Doing okay, Ty.
He's not okay.
I'm doing all right.
His bangs are looking good, too.
Yeah, the bangs are actually looking great, but Strebel likes his hair short when it looks good grown out, but he doesn't listen to me. He listens to a man named Robert who cuts his hair.
Yeah, Rob.
Is it Rob? There
Rob,
you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I came up with a random name, and there you go. All right, Ty, so U of L, let's start with them. Hassan Hall, the news, he's entered the transfer portal. I don't think, obviously, I was surprised he played this season, quite frankly, and didn't go to the transfer portal. I guess, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, one of the Petrino guys still on the roster. It's not really a surprise considering he's third on the depth chart and a pretty considerable amount behind the first two guys in Cooley and Jalen Mitchell. The timing more than anything is weird. I would have thought if he was going to do it, it would have been before the season or after the season. But all in all, I'm not overly surprised.
Yeah, and he had that one big game, and I always thought that he had a nice amount of talent, fumbling issues, a ton of injury issues. It just never clicked, right? Like, if you looked at a football running back and that speed, like, he seemed to fit that, and it just never clicked for whatever reason. So, Hassan Hall, we shall see where he goes. What stood out on Tuesday night? Was it the good? Was it the bad? I'm going to ask John Hale the exact same thing on the Champions Classic, but on the Louisville side, far too close, pulling away at the end for a 12-point win. Some guys played well. Some guys obviously didn't play well. What stood out to you, the positive or the negative?
I mean, I think you could look at it both ways. I liked what I saw from Noah Locke and Matt Cross. I think if Noah Locke can continue to do more than just spot-up shoot, I think will be even bigger for Louisville. He showed that ability in a couple possessions where he was able to create his own shot, get separation. I really liked what I saw from him. Matt Cross, obviously a great shooter, but he's doing a lot more. He's given Louisville great effort. And then Sam Williamson, that's another positive. You know, he's not the world beater that everyone hoped he would be, but if he can get you 14 rebounds a night, you can't ask him to do much more. And then the negatives, I think Louisville needs to settle on a rotation and a starting lineup. I don't think in the college level nowadays that 11 guys are all going to be able to play. Now, I don't know who gets cut out of that 11, but I think 8 or 9 would probably be more ideal. And I think that starting lineup needs to get tweaked. I think Louisville needs to go with their best 5. And that center spot, you know, Sidney Curry's an okay piece, a nice piece. But Malik Williams needs to be relied on night in and night out. You can't have off nights where he sits on the bench. And then the same goes for Jalen Withers.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some continuity with that starting lineup. I'd like to see them settle on their 5 that they're going to play with the rest of the year and roll those guys out on Friday night against Furman.
Was it more surprising that Withers struggled or Malik Williams did not start? Because both of those were surprising.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if Withers was sitting because of foul trouble. He did end up with 4 fouls, or that he just wasn't playing well. I think it was a little bit of both, but I think it was more surprising that Malik Williams didn't start. I actually, I didn't even catch it until I was at the game and they were announcing the starting lineups. But then after the game, you know, we found out there was some off the court stuff going on with Malik. So maybe that there was a valid reason for him not starting. Maybe some off the court stuff, you know, affected his practices. So I think moving forward, Malik will be back in the starting lineup. And I think it's only a matter of time before either Matt Cross or Sam Williamson overtake Dre Davis in that starting lineup as well.
Yeah, listen, they can't tell me the starting lineup doesn't matter. And then they're using it as motivation for multiple players, and they have 2 or 3 guys who should be starting that aren't. Like, at some point, just start Sam and start Matt Cross. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Start your best players.
Yeah, start the best players.
Please.
Put them on the floor and take care of it. Ty Spalding with us here. Are you worried about Furman or Navy? But on Friday, are you worried about them? Louisville fans kind of are.
Yeah, so I saw they hit 22 threes in their season opener. Granted, I didn't even recognize the team they played. But obviously, when a team can get hot from outside like that, you know, you can be beat on any night in college basketball. So I would say I'm not exactly worried, but I would not be shocked if Furman, you know, takes Louisville well into the second half. You know, I'd say an 8 to 10 point game is what I would expect. KenPom has Louisville winning by 11. I'd say that's probably right where I would have it as well. I think I, you know, a single digit game, you know, wouldn't shock me at all.
Well, that's gonna be a close game then. I mean, that could get a little scary. Okay, we'll see what happens on Friday.
Yeah, KenPom, you know, usually he puts out a projection for every game.
Right.
And when I saw only 11 points for that game, I think that shows that Furman is definitely. Louisville definitely needs to take them serious and definitely needs to be ready to play, or they could get beat.
All right, on the football side, at what point on Saturday did you know that Malik and company were not going to get into the end zone with Clemson? Strebel said it was second down when they lost the 2, 3, 4 yards or whatever. I said it was still third down. So where was it? Or did you believe until the end where Malik slipped? When did you say, hey, they're not going to get in here and this is going to be yet another heartbreaking loss to Clemson and yet another heartbreaking could have won a game this season?
So the Jalen Mitchell stretch run, was that
first down, I think. That was first down,
so
yeah.
So I would say it was when that second down when Malik got stuck. That was the second down play, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yep, yeah, that's probably when I, you know, lost all hope. And Diener's been saying this all week that he really didn't have a problem with the play calling. I actually did. You know, down the goal line, I mean, not that I'm an offensive genius, but have Malik get snapped the ball to Malik, have him take 2 steps forward like he's going to run into the end zone and then hit the jump pass, the tight end standing in the back of the end zone wide open. How many times have we seen that play work?
Right.
I mean, something off the grid. I don't think lining up and trying to beat Clemson man-on-man was the way to go. I mean, even the Philly special, something like that. You have to have a sheet of plays that are 4 2-point conversions, which was, you know, where Louisville was on the field, that you have in your back pocket 4 2-point conversions. And I didn't like the play calling, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, and it didn't work out, and so Louisville loses, and now we move on to this game, and I don't know what, I don't know anything about Syracuse. It's a team we've all laughed at, but I mean, there's a chance here. This is a close game, right? I mean, that's where we are, and then I mean, I said earlier, Satterfield's in a real rough spot. I mean, obviously he wins, and you know, it's not going to move the needle that much. I said if it was a fun win, and you know, Lamar's in the locker room dancing with Malik and Satterfield, then that would move the needle and create at least a weekend of feel good. And good God, you know this, Ty. If he loses on Lamar Day to a team we don't respect, Dino Babers and Syracuse, I mean, it's going to be tough for me to come on here and back Satterfield in any way. So, what do you make of Saturday? What do you make of the matchup? If you know anything about Syracuse, what do you think happens?
So their quarterback, Garrett Schrader, transferred from Mississippi State, and Louisville was actually recruiting him when he entered the transfer portal to come in and sit behind Malik. He ended up going to Syracuse. He was actually the guy that got punched in the face back when Louisville played Mississippi State.
By Willie Gay. Willie Gay punched him in the face, yeah.
So they're a heavy run team, him, and then their running back is already over 1,000 yards on the season. Look, Syracuse is a team that nobody really respects, but, I mean, this is only a 3-point spread, and Syracuse has a better record than Louisville, and they played Wake Forest and Clemson maybe even better than Louisville did. They took, if I'm not mistaken, they took Wake Forest into overtime, probably should have won that game, and then they had Clemson on the ropes all night. I believe that was a Friday night game. I remember watching that. So I don't think Louisville can walk in there and just expect to win. I think this is a toss-up game, you know, that could go either way, and especially if it goes into the fourth quarter. You know, Louisville's known to lose those games. So if it's tied in the fourth quarter, you know, I could see Syracuse coming into Cardinal Stadium and winning.
Ugh. Did you had to vomit a little bit in your mouth there, didn't you, saying that? I mean, if they lose on Lamar Day, like, this is, it would be one of the first games I'd say he would be done. Like, I think Satterfield's back next year. I want to be clear, no matter what. Like, I think if they lose out, it's going to make it hairy, but I think he'd be back. But it would be a game to where you would say, you know, more of the fan base would be mobilizing against him. I still think they win, but I agree with you. I think they win, play well, and it's not a hairy game, but it could be. I don't know. Wow, Syracuse.
Yeah, let me be clear. I think they win, but I'm just saying that 3-point spread tells me everything I need to know. That's essentially, you know, a 55-45 game. And the common opponents that each of the teams have, the games have been very similar. So I think these are two teams that, you know, if they played 10 times, I think it would be, you know, 6-4 or 5-5. You know, I'm not saying Louisville's going to lose, but what I am saying is that Syracuse is very capable of beating Louisville on Saturday.
Right. Ty Spalding there with Rivals, CardinalSports.com. Ty, always appreciate the time. Take care. Talk next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Kentucky.
All right, John Hale from the Courier-Journal joins us following the Kentucky Wildcats. John, good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Oh, we're making it. We are making it, barely. Matriculating through the week. It's a Thursday. James Strebel sad, still from Tuesday in the Champions Classic. I just asked Ty Spalding this. Did you focus on the good or the bad Tuesday night there from the Champions Classic? There were both. Obviously, Kentucky loses. What was your main focus?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously it was a little bit of both. But my first takeaway walking, you know, out of the arena was because my expectations were pretty low going into it. I think I picked Duke to win by 11. That I thought it was overall kind of encouraging because your veterans were mostly what you thought they were. Obviously, Xavier Wheeler struggled a little bit down the stretch, turned it over after he was playing too much. But Oscar Sheboy was a beast on the boards, and Kellen Grady hit some open shots, and Wheeler was clearly distributing really well for 75% of that game. So because you got what you hope for most of those guys, you know, Keon Brooks needs to play better, clearly, but I assume that Ty Washington is not going to play that bad all year long, and I think you're eventually going to get something from Damian Collins. So to me, if the two freshmen, and maybe throw Bryce Hopkins in there if you want to, follow a typical Calipari freshman kind of progression, then the ceiling raises a little bit. I don't think they're a Final Four team, even if in the best case scenario right now, just because they just don't have that singular star. But I saw enough on Saturday to be pretty convinced that it was at least a second weekend NCAA tournament kind of team.
One of the things that I said is actions speak louder than words. You've heard that, I'm sure, throughout your life, and the actions in the offseason, it seemed like a pretty loaded roster, and Calipari went all in very publicly on Jalen Duren and Kofi Coburn. If you look at that front line, Shibwe, we know he's a beast, we know he's a man, but after that, the drop-off to me right now is substantial. Like you said, we'll see with Damian Collins what happens then. Does it make more sense now, I guess, why at the time we thought it was the rich getting richer, when it's much more of a necessity? Like, you know, Jalen Duren would have fit really nice alongside Oscar Shibwe. That actions did speak louder than words. Game one, we know Duke is awesome, but it did rear its ugly head a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it reared its head dating back to the Kentucky-Westland game when Shibwe, you know, that was limited in the second half with the hip thing, and they just didn't play him the last 10 minutes or whatever, and Kentucky-Westland just dominated them inside. And so, like, I think that is the biggest concern for this team, and that's why I think their overall ceiling is fairly low, but it's going to be about matchups when they get to March, because if it may be very similar in a different way to that Calipari's first team, where they were really good, but we knew that if they had a bad night shooting the ball, that they could lose to almost anybody. And so this is a situation where if they match up with the right team in the tournament that's got a bunch of size and depth in the post and get Shibwe in foul trouble, that could be a really bad situation for Kentucky. The question is, how many of those teams exist out there?
Right, right.
There are not many who are deeper or bigger than Duke is, and they, you know, hung in there for most of that game. And he managed to, while he was in foul trouble in the first half, I think it was a huge deal that he played those last 11 minutes without picking up his fourth foul. That's a pretty good sign against that team. So if, you know, in any night when he gets in foul trouble, I think that they could lose. And that's just a matter of whether Damian Collins is going to become, you know, a useful piece this year, or Lance Ware makes some improvement, because they don't really have any other bodies to put there at the five. It's not like you're going to go out there and play, you know, Keon Brooks or Jacob Toppin at the five. Maybe you get forced to at some point because of various situations, but that would be a disaster, I think.
Shaedon Sharpe is going to be on campus here in, a month and a half?
Yeah,
I mean, whatever it
December.
Is. He's going to be here sooner rather than later. He's not going to be eligible for the next draft, so Kentucky will have his services. Any read, and there's been conflicting quotes, I mean, any read if there's a possibility he would play? Now, if he were 6'10 and could be a front liner, we'd be saying hurry the hell up.
Yeah.
But they have a ton of guards, and I already think that's going to be difficult to manage anyway. What do you make of Shaedon Sharpe in that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I take them at their word that the plan is for him to just practice next year, do the Amadou Diallo thing. I mean, Bruiser Flint talked to us this morning, and he got asked about it, and he said, you know, pretty flatly he was not going to play. We'll ask Cal, obviously, tomorrow after the game and see what he says. But, I mean, I think I told you this when that first report came out. There's going to be a week in February at some point after he's been practice for a month and gotten it.
100%.
Where they're struggling, they lose a couple games, and we're all going to talk about whether he's going to play, and Cal's going to play with it.
Or an injury.
Down, he's gonna,
or an injury.
An injury,
yeah.
Warm up. I mean, I think the one wild card here is the, other than the post depth, the biggest question about the team is, do they have that kind of transcendent star? I mean, Cal's best teams have all had that player, and it doesn't appear that they do right now. Well, if he's legitimately the number one recruit in the country, if he's that good, you know, once he gets here and practices for a while and learns his teammates and, you know, learns the system a little bit, maybe he can help them. And if at that point it looks like he can help them, then I think you probably throw him out there. But the good news is Cal's going to be able to watch him in practice and figure out how realistic that is. Because if it's not a situation where he's going to go out and play like a star, then I figure they'll just, you know, keep him practicing and get him ready for next year.
All right, so John Hale's with us. We have one more. I'm kind of breaking a rule. Here's the deal, John. After that disgusting football, we're going to football here. After that debacle against Tennessee with Vanderbilt and New Mexico State, I said I'm not talking Kentucky football. I'm banning them from the show. We have basketball, Louisville basketball. You know, we have Louisville football, which is not interesting either, other than the fans wanting to fire the coach. And the three straight losses in what we saw Saturday night, it did it for me. I guess that's the best way. But I'm going to allow here, James Strebel wants to ask one football question as John Hale has to go to Vanderbilt in that dump of a stadium on Saturday.
John.
Yes. So go ahead. Ask John anything football-wise, go ahead.
All I got for you, John, is there any good news on defense with Marquan McCall possibly playing Saturday? That's all I got for defense. That's it.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. Brad White yesterday in the post-practice interviews did the I defer to the head coach. He talks about that. Well, of course, Mark doesn't talk about that, so
right.
Doesn't matter. But then Justin Rogers talked after him, and I asked Justin something about, you know, just how hard has it been for Marquan while he's out. You know, obviously, you guys are close or whatever. He's like, oh, he's good. He's practicing. He's definitely excited to play this weekend. So there you go. Justin Rogers.
Well, there's a bright spot.
Marquan's going to play.
Thank you, Justin.
That was your one question.
That was all I have. That's all I got.
That's all he's got.
That's all I got.
You're making the trip, right? Are you making the trip to Nashville? Or
no, I'm not.
Oh, you're
I'm
so
not
lucky
because they're still doing press conferences via Zoom.
Oh, so are they?
Not driving down to Nashville, but I don't have good, to do for that.
Good for you.
Good for you, John.
We always talk to 40 and Bozich and all the newspaper guys about how, you know, they used to draw straws
back in the day.
Yeah, who had to go cover the Vanderbilt game. So there you go. It's the single, I don't want to call it a positive thing to come from COVID, that John Hale doesn't have to go there. and do all of that. I don't know. Well, there's always a bachelorette party, John, you could observe from afar on Broadway or something. John Hale of the CJ, at John Hale underscore CJ, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Appreciate the time, John.
Thanks for having me.
Indiana.
All right, Dustin Dupirak joins us here on to talk about Indiana. Jack, do you want to ask him at all about Rutgers Indiana football? No?
Is McCauley going to be the guy?
No. Who's McCauley?
The freshman quarterback that started
McCauley?
The last two games.
True freshman quarterback.
Is McCauley going to be the guy,
Dustin? That's all I care about. Is he going quarterback and does the quarterback look good?
Is he the guy?
Maybe. I mean,
good enough. Good enough.
Tom was really weird about it today. He said there's going to be multiple quarterbacks available. You know, said that Jack Tuttle and Michael Penix are making progress. So I don't know if that means they're going to play. I don't know if that means one of them is going to start. He said multiple quarterbacks, which I mean, technically also means walk-ons. If those guys aren't available, they still do have multiple quarterbacks. In theory, he wouldn't be lying. So I don't know. That was just sort of a very odd way that they sort of handled that today. So I don't know. I think they're just trying to create some kind of misdirection there, but I don't know. I mean, it's possible that one of them gets another crack at it, but we'll see on Saturday is all I can say on that one. I mean, I don't know why you would pull McCauley at this point, but who knows?
The worst part is I have no idea who you guys are talking about. I mean, like I think
it's the four-star freshman.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you talk about him. He prefaces that, Dustin, with four-star.
He loves it.
That makes him warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. It does.
To think that in this awful season that there's something at the end of this. What's the opposite of a it's a hell
of
rainbow.
A black hole.
It's a rainbow, but the rainbow's in hell. And at the end of it, there's a four-star quarterback who's going to lead Tom Allen back to the Monique Kerr Bowl in 2 years. That's all he cares about. Let's go to basketball, something that people may care about. Indiana, 4 of 24, shooting 16% from three. This team was supposed to be better. They were not better game one, had a big lead and lost it. Was it same old Indiana, or I guess why was it not same old Indiana the other night?
I mean, there are some ways in which they're better and some ways that there are, you know, sort of noticeable little schematic differences that, you know, I don't think there was a lot that was not. There was a good bit that was as advertised, I would say. One thing, the thing that you see about the misses is they took a lot. You know, their sort of direction is going to be, you know, keep shooting. You know, just keep shooting. We're hoping to spread the floor out. We're hoping to play four out, one in. That means you got to make some threes. That means everybody's got to take them. So keep shooting them until they go in. Just trust and believe and have confidence that you're eventually going to make them. I think I haven't double checked this, but I think Zach Osterman, we were on our video the other night, said this was, you know, they'd only taken more than 24 threes like once last year, so that's a difference, I guess. But you know, I think you saw good defense. I think you saw a more aggressive defense. You saw just overall more aggression on offense overall. So there's something. Now, that doesn't fix everything, obviously. And from a them shooting perspective, I mean, they lost their two best shooters and they gained two, but you know, they don't really have more shooters than they did a year ago. Maybe if Tamar Bates gets going, maybe if some other guys that have not been good or haven't played that much in the past get going, maybe they're better. But you know, really Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp kind of just fill in for Al Durham and Armaan Franklin, and you have some more sort of history of made threes, but not a whole heck of a lot. So they're not a lot better on the shooting end, but I think they did some very good things defensively. But you saw just a phenomenal night from Trayce Jackson-Davis. He was able to shoot outside, but was just difficult to stop. Really just impressive athletically. So there were some good things. And there was some sort of like on the court, you're watching them different things schematically. But ultimately, for it to work, they have to make shots. And so at some point, just taking them, you know, isn't going to be enough. They actually have to go in because, you know, they'll stand out. And if you can't make a three, they'll let you shoot them all day if you really want to. There is clearly a lot of progress that still needs to be made with this group.
Yeah, 16% from three, 60% from the free throw line is just not going to cut it in many instances. This may be the last one. Jack Grossman, our producer, is literally screaming. He chased off two interns with his screaming because he's mad at and we read your tweet about Race Thompson earlier that he's just going to keep shooting threes and we believe in him. So he's mad at that, and then he's got a vendetta against Kopp. I mean, and it is what it is. Do you want to get on the mic here? Because you're frustrated with him. You don't think he can shoot. He's out there, and he's 1 of 5 from
three
the field.
Points.
Yeah, 3 points. Doesn't make a three on Tuesday.
Here's the thing. I mean, we've been sold all summer about Miller Kopp, and he was 33% from three last year. It's like, okay, that's fine, but that's not, you know, the type of, you know, guy with a clip that you need when you have struggled to have shooting. And things like Race Thompson, Trayce Jackson-Davis. I know it's one game, it's small sample size, but we've heard every summer from first Archie Miller for multiple years and now Mike Woodson that these guys can shoot, and they've just never been able to actually show it in a game. So why should we believe that it's actually different?
It's Patino-esque. It's like this guy in practice. Like, I mean, Cal's done that the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
If you could only, Dustin, see these guys in practice, and then they go 1 of 8 in the game.
They light it up.
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, to that point, I mean, that's just sort of what they're doing, is saying, like, they're going to keep shooting threes because somebody's got to make them. If this thing has any chance to work, someone's got to shoot threes, and these are the guys you have in camp, so give them the ball. I mean, as much as Kopp is not the best three-point shooter in the world, in terms of a transfer portal guy that you need to get to fill out a roster when you have a coaching change, you could do a lot worse.
Right.
It's obviously it hurt some of the guys you lost, but ultimately, if they're going to do this, if they're going to say, you know, we're going into the modern era of basketball, we're going to play 4 out, 1 in, and that's how we have to win. That's what we have to sell. We have to sell NBA style. We have to sell freedom, as far as just the creativity and ability to shoot and do what you want and just play that kind of next level fashion. Well, you just have to do it. Because if you instead play to your personnel, then what you do is you have a situation like you had with Archie Miller. You end up with this really boring 3 out, 2 in situation where you've got Race Thompson posting up and Trayce Jackson-Davis posting up, and there's not a lot of space. It's really boring to watch. And, you know, eventually you don't win enough games playing that way, and
right.
You can't recruit because it's not fun. So there's kind of a long term. I mean, there's a reason why they made the change, and it's basically like, hey, like whether or not these guys are good enough to actually be successful playing this way, they're going to play this way anyway, because that's what they've sold. That's what the promise has been made, not to just these guys, but the guys that they're selling to come in. And obviously, the point is to get better players somewhere down the line. You know, I mean, Race Thompson has hit threes in his life. He was really good at it in high school. And their thing is, you know what? You've done it before. Try it now. Give it a shot. Just keep shooting. You know, work on your form, work on this, whatever. But, you know, don't be afraid to keep putting the ball up. And that's what basically the charge that Woodson's had to everybody is just, you know, if you miss, keep shooting. Just keep doing it. And hopefully enough will go in that you keep the floor spread out and you can do some of the things that you want. I think that's just sort of the goal or the way that they're approaching this is,
It's not get better. Not going to get better if you don't keep doing it. It is not a better idea to say, well, only the guys who can really shoot threes can shoot threes, because then you don't get to play the ball you want to play. You end up with a really boring style of offense, and you end up in the same situation you've been in the last couple years.
I will say anything's better than what it was the last.
Well, I mean, no, they're making instead of playing boring basketball with the bigs on the post, they're doing it just a different. They're annoying you a different way, but it's not. Exactly. But it's not Archie. But it sounds like Dustin has covered like Kentucky basketball the last few years with Cal saying, well, they, you know, keep shooting it. Eventually it's going to get in. Dustin Dupirak, Bloomington Herald Times and the Indy Star. Always appreciate the time, Dustin. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. A little blitz on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You happy?
I am happy.
You sure you're happy?
You know what makes me even happier?
What are you looking at over there? What are you looking at?
You got some big news.
Oh, we want to tease that?
I just saw the thing.
It's not like real big news, but it's...
Are you being snarky?
Yeah, being snarky.
Okay, can we wait to after the break?
Sure, yeah. I'll send it to you.
All right, well, don't send it to me. Just tell me during the break.
I'll tell you during the break.
Big news after the break. We want to get to that. Shaedon Sharpe. I want to get to that real quick. And Jay Billis, don't look this up, has his top 10 freshmen. Who's on the list and who isn't?
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
My boyfriend is a bad man.
And James Strebel.
My girl cheats on me.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thank you to Adam and his staff at Wing Zone dropping off some food today to the ESPN Louisville studios. You know, they got you covered this weekend for all the football and basketball games. And as always, this is good 7 days a week. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. Like I said, good 7 days a week. Order online, wingzone.com. The two locations here in Louisville, Poplar Level Road near the Corey Center and Hikes Point. So there you go.
Yeah.
Who put the wedges up?
I know.
Did Phil Baker do that?
Those are good too.
He put the wedges in the refrigerator. What are we doing here?
Oh. We didn't just eat all the wedges like normal?
No, there were a few left, and I was going to
put in the fridge?
Yeah, each break I was going to walk by them.
You see, they normally don't last until the show starts. Because,
100%
you know,
they don't.
Yeah. I take a portion, and then I let everyone else go through, take theirs, and then it begins to
how
around,
lucky we are.
If it gets to around 2 o'clock and there's still some left.
How thoughtful of you, Jack. Thank you so much for taking your portion.
I like the wedges. They're good.
They are the best wedges in town, in my opinion.
They might be.
They're
really good.
Yeah.
There you go. Wing Zone, you got the endorsement of James Strebel. So there
and
you
Jack
go.
I'm not sure it's ever actually been here.
What does that mean? 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. Thank you to our guy Dupirak, Spalding and Hale, hanging out with us coming up in about 20 minutes. Rick Bostich joins us from WDRB. Now, you guys said you had something funny to tell me.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and do that then?
Well, the Field of 68 has a new show. Have you seen this?
Oh, God. I have a feeling I know where this is going. I have not seen this, but I have a feeling I know exactly where this is heading.
Introducing.
Yeah, here we go.
The next play.
Okay.
With the Miller brothers. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the description. Sean and Archie Miller are brothers that have been coaching in college basketball for decades. Both of them are currently unemployed. And with nothing else to do, they're starting a podcast with the Field of 68. This is the first episode.
There you go.
It just kills me.
A great description.
Both are currently unemployed.
For very different reasons.
Here you go. Look, Andy. You got, look at this. Look at the picture. Here.
Okay, let's see the picture.
Right.
Did you send it to me? I saw you send
it. I did.
Something.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'll just look at it here.
Or you look at it here. It's Bont.
I just, everyone loves them in the college basketball circles, and it showed so much in the lack of coverage. Why do I care about this? I'm talking like it's important. We're talking about Henry Ruggs. Like, what am I doing right now? I mean, Sean Miller is a cheater.
Yeah.
Which I don't care about.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care about.
No, but he wasn't good at it.
He's one of the biggest cheaters in college basketball.
Oh, the last decade for sure.
It's okay. It's okay. Again, I don't care about it, but usually these kind of people do.
Right.
And Archie Miller, is a bust.
He's terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's terrible. Archie Miller is not someone that I would want my enemy to hire.
Right.
And he's a mid-major coach.
I don't value anything that Archie Miller says about basketball.
Right. That's the thing. Who wants to listen to this?
Nothing. No, I think it's a fine listen.
It is a fine listen.
It's a great idea for them, and they get paid, and they got nothing to do. It's like you go do media for the couple years, but it's the reason that Pat Forte will crush Sean Miller and who else? I mean, the college basketball media is such a fanboy media.
Which is, again,
I don't care. That doesn't matter to me.
But the Miller brothers.
Sean Miller has been the face of, or could have been the face of, everything wrong about college athletics. Again, I don't care.
Right.
And Archie Miller is as incompetent as a coach as you can have.
I actually kind of want to listen to this.
And everyone loves these guys.
They do. They're breaking down the Champions Classic.
You're going to listen to it.
That's their first episode. Right.
You're listening to this whole thing.
I want to hear their thoughts.
You don't listen to this podcast. Of course, you're on the show. You skip your own podcast. You act like you're listening to the Miller brothers when you skip your own.
I want to hear them break down.
You're going to listen to Ennis and
Seaway.
Yeah, when they say introducing next play, it should be next job, and it's going to be never. It's going to be never.
I mean, they're currently unemployed.
It'll be Archie Miller and Shay Bonaventure, and it will be Sean Miller just hoping it's his assistants to go to federal prison.
What a great show that this is. Next play.
Who did Archie have going seventh in the Big Ten?
Michigan. Who's like seventh in the nation?
What are we doing here?
Seventh in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
I don't know, man. But that's why this is fascinating.
I hope he's right. It'd be funny.
It would be funny. I do like Juwan Howard. I do like him. He's a good coach.
Why? He's taking all your players. He's better than you. What are you talking about?
No, he's
why do
not.
You like Juwan? You don't think Juwan Howard's a threat to you? Oh,
no.
He's a direct threat to you.
No. I don't think
so. Oh, you've lost. Hey, Jack, he's...
Who, what players, is, what is, players has he taken Hunter from Cal?
This is the Big Ten thing,
no,
Jack.
Who's he taken from Cal? You can say Penny. Yeah.
Charles, what's his name?
Yeah, Krzyzewski.
No, what's his name?
That was a B-line.
Charles Matthews.
It's
Charles Matthews.
He didn't
it
know
was
that.
B-line. I remember that.
He didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they went to an Elite Eight with him, I believe. Yeah. He was good.
Went to the title game with him.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. Yeah,
they got killed by the title game.
You're right. They got blasted. You're right. Yeah, Charles Matthews. But Juwan Howard didn't take him, and he has not taken recruits either.
I'm saying Juwan Howard's running a better program right now than Kentucky.
I would.
It just needs to be said.
Yeah.
It just needs to be said.
I don't think it's
more than Kentucky, but it's some, and it's obviously much better than Louisville or Indiana.
Well, yeah.
Where we are.
Now, I agree with you on that.
Before we get Bosa on, we haven't talked too much about this. John Hale has written about this. He talked with us about it yesterday. And that is the Shaden Sharp stuff. Who are you texting right now?
Oh, this is my wife. Yeah,
what is she saying?
No, just
what's the wife saying?
No, it's just plans for tonight.
What's the plans for tonight?
And just the stuff with the kids.
What's happening with the kids?
Nothing's happening. It's just like she's teaching.
Being very secretive.
No, I'm not.
You're being secretive.
I'm not.
Is it really color Emily?
No, she's leaving. She's teaching today, and she's leaving there around 6. My mom has the kids right now, so we're planning that along. So she'll be home around the same time I will. That's all it is.
Okay, so that's not a very good...
I told you.
I thought you guys were doing something. You're all right.
There's nothing interesting at all. Like, our texts are like, these are our texts.
I know. I see screenshots. Don't worry.
We've
linked phones. Don't worry about it. So I bring this up only that is there anyone that doesn't think Shaden Sharp's playing this year? It's how it's been positioned that he's not going to play, and it makes all the sense still if he didn't play to practice against the team to get used to Cal's system, as if Cal's system is so difficult to get used to.
You got to really study up.
Roll the ball out there.
Roll the ball out there.
Let the boys play.
Let them play. to get bigger. To adapt to the college game and to get that NIL money.
I mean,
so this is, and that's a huge part of it. And these are all tentacles to this conversation. And then I guess, was it last night? Was it Jack Pilgrim? That KSR, I don't know who it was, had the quotes from Shane Sharp.
Yes.
If they ask him to play, he'd do whatever Cal wants him.
What? Yeah.
And so obviously he's not a big, how tall is he? Is he like 6'5"?
I believe 6'5", 6'6".
Okay,
he's a shooting guard.
He's a shooting guard.
That's what he is.
He's a wing.
Yes.
And they have a lot of options at that position, at those positions, it seems like there's a lot of options. My opinion has been that the Cal's not high on Davion Mintz. Mm-hmm. He did play 21 minutes the other night.
Because he had to bench Ty Washington.
Yeah, C.J. Frederick's, I don't know. We know that Wheeler and Ty are going to start there.
Right.
So I don't know how to talk about the Shane Sharp thing other than I think there's no way that he sits there.
If he's as good as everyone thinks he is.
If he's as good as everyone thinks he is. If he doesn't play, that may be because he's not ready. And he's, I mean.
Like Hamed Diallo.
Well, I mean, he better be. Way better than
Hamed. No, that's what I'm saying. But, I think Hamed didn't play because he was not ready. He wasn't even ready the next season.
I guess I don't know. And I would say that I feel like they're going to lose some games.
Sure. Yeah.
And because I feel that way, it would open up the opportunity to insert him in the lineup because who cares about ruining chemistry if you're not a high end team. If Shaedon Sharpe would make them closer to Duke and Gonzaga and whoever we want to put up there, Texas, whoever we want to put up there, then I think Cal doing it would make all the sense in the world. And I think ultimately that is what will happen. And that's just kind of where I stand, but I don't have any evidence to that. I don't have any evidence other than I think he will end up playing this season, and if you got to push some guys out of the way, Cal has shown, and he's going to show this year, he'll push some lesser thans out of the way.
Especially coming off of 9-16, and you got to get mojo going. He's going to do it. Like I was painting the scenario during the break of, you know, you lose a couple of SEC games, you go to Kansas, you lose that game, all of a sudden momentum kind of drops and people are tuning out or fans are restless or not happy. You put Shaedon Sharpe in there, gives them something to get excited about. Maybe, you know, Cal uses the tweak and this, that, and the other. And not only Shaedon Sharpe's comments, I mean, it was his coach or his mentor, maybe this one and the same person, said similar things when he was asked about Shaedon Sharpe playing this year. Well, that's not the plan. The plan is to come and learn and get ready for next year. But he'll do whatever John Calipari asked him to do. That's not out of the picture. It's not out of the question. That tells me there's an expectation that playing time could be available to him. And I want, you get the number one player in 2022, number three player now in 2021, right? You play him. If he's good enough, if he's ready to go, and you need some push, you need a bump, you play him.
Secured.
Now, if he was 6'8", 6'9", in 210, then yeah, you play him automatically.
Minute one,
That's not even a discussion. It's not a conversation. You play him. But with this, with his position, maybe you hold him out. But, man, if he's good, if he goes to practice and he's out there dunking on folks and just making people look silly.
If you can tell how good he is,
you put him in and you play the day. I mean, this is he could be projected in the lottery this year. Like the 2022 lottery.
Fine. I don't want to hear that.
No, I'm saying if you have a projected lottery pick on the team, you play him.
Yeah, and I'm with you. The only part of me that doesn't care is people are projecting Damian Collins. Damian Collins.
That's fine, but no, people respect Shaedon Sharpe as an NBA player more than Damian Collins. Those are two different discussions.
And what I'm saying is I don't respect mock drafts right now.
Well, that's fine. That's you don't have to, but
Damian Collins is 3 years, 4 years from being able to play in the NBA.
No,
except for Jay Billis' list of top 10 freshmen.
Yes, which you want to get to this?
Yeah.
We'll do a little countdown here.
Let's do a countdown.
Number 10, Jay Billis' top freshman. Kennedy Chandler.
Okay, Tennessee, yeah.
J.D. Davis, Alabama.
Okay.
Boy, a lot of SEC in here, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you weren't worried about Nate Oates.
I'm not worried about Nate Oates.
Well, you wanted Cal to be Nate Oates.
I just wanted him to play a faster offense like Nate Oates. I said offense like Nate Oates.
By the way, I was
talking. I mean, almost like, hang on, Jack. You said Nate Oates.
Yes, I said I wish he played like Nate Oates plays, his offense. I didn't say I wanted Nate Oates. I don't want Nate Oates.
Post-game shows last year, you wanted Nate Oates.
I didn't. I never said I wanted Nate Oates to be the coach.
I mean,
you can look for it. I never said that.
I feel like if he just searches stream with Nate Oates, he'll find all of the sound of
there, and there were, the, there's the never one lost. That I'd rather have them trade spots him be the coach. Okay. I never
said
that.
Alabama wouldn't trade because they wouldn't want him. Smith at number 8, Auburn.
Okay.
Jalen Duren, number 7. Patrick Baldwin, number 6. And where did he go? It was a Detroit? Jack can't remember. He went
Nobody
to
cares.
His dad. His dad coached
at Detroit, yes.
Was it Detroit?
I believe it was Detroit.
Okay. Number 5, Trevor Keels. Number 4, Caleb Houston.
Yeah.
Michigan. Number 3, Imani Bates. Memphis.
Yeah.
Number 2, Paolo Banchero or Banchero, however
one
you
of
say
the
his
other,
name.
One of the two.
Duke.
Yeah.
And Chet Holmgren, number 1.
Yeah.
It's a good list. I'd say Jack, it's a thorough list, right? Well, see, it's a good list.
Yeah.
It's a solid. Do we miss anybody?
It's an accurate list.
It's an accurate list. Was anybody missed?
He's going off of one game, right?
Well, so are the mock drafts, yeah.
No, they're not. No. He's going off of one game.
One game.
One game.
No, this was probably before. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, is it before?
No, I don't know if one game had changed.
What's the date?
I don't know the date.
I thought you all would know the date.
I like how when it's about Kentucky, it's like the cake bake, but when it's about Louisville, it's going to crush.
But what changed the one Southern game that would change anything that he did
nothing,
here?
Nothing. That's fine.
Like, Banchero played better than Holmgren. He still got Holmgren one.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that just shows Jay Billis' intelligence. Which is negligible. Negligible. That's fine. That's fine. Negligible.
Oh, man.
He's a lawyer. He's making millions broadcasting.
Yeah. Blowhard. I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised Paolo's not number one.
Jack's disappointed in you.
For what reason?
I thought you had grown out of this.
Yeah,
I don't like Jay Billis.
It's not good. Yeah.
That's fine. I don't like him. I think he's smug. I just don't respect him. I don't. That's a good list, though, right?
You would agree it's a good list.
It's a fine list.
It's a fine list.
It's a fine list. Okay. I'm not saying it's not a good list. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad list.
Are you still over the Vince Merrill maybe leaving with Mel Tucker news? Are you still okay with that?
I'm okay with that. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You're struggling today.
No, I'm not struggling.
You're struggling.
I'm feeling good. I'm having a good day. I'm going to have a good weekend. Y'all can't bring me down. I'm feeling good. Jay Billis definitely can't bring me down.
Don't challenge the text line on that.
Oh, I don't care about the text line. I don't care about the text line. I'll battle the text line, but I respect the text line as much as I respect Jay Billis. None. Zero.
And shame on you, Jay Billis, for trying to steal that kid's spotlight and give it back to Zion Williamson. You hack. You leg-humping. There you go, Andy, sweetie. You leg-humping hack, okay? You don't have to say... Oh, Ja Morant, the hype is real. He wasn't all just hype. It's real. Oh, by the way, Zion Williamson, his hype real too. No kidding, Jay. I haven't heard about that all season long. Never heard a word about Zion. This is the first time I heard that Zion Williamson's hype was indeed not just hype. Let the kid have his day. No one's talked about Ja Morant all season long in the country except for College Basketball Insiders. So the kid has a great game, scores a triple-double, upsets a 5 seed, and you still got to swing off Zion Williamson. Shut up, Jay Billis. Play that next time he comes on the V Show.
I just leaned back from the mic and looked at
get
Mitch.
Get Ed's out of here.
I'm sick of it. I am sick of Jay Billis and Jay Williams. Duke, Zion. Ja Morant had a good game. Oh, but guess what? Zion, he's the real deal, too. Really? Newsflash. Zion Williamson's good. Thank you. Thanks for telling the country that Zion Williamson's good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
By the way, tomorrow is Team USA soccer.
Oh, is it?
So get ready for Ents. It's USA versus Mexico.
Oh, no.
It's in Cincinnati, too.
And Ents is going to be in an all-timer.
He's going to be on it. He doesn't like when they play Mexico at all. He blames them for all the ills of soccer.
Texas says, oink, oink, father. Texas says, you went to Campbell's dump. He goes to, he went to Duke grad. He's an attorney.
There's a lot of stupid attorneys out there, too. Remember that attorney that fell in the trash can?
Hey, that's my guy. Leave Larry Wilder alone.
Look,
Larry Wilder alone.
Set him down. But this idea that you had, if you're an attorney, you're smarter than you. No, I don't. I know.
Come on.
I'm smarter than Jay Billis. I'll beat him in trivia. I'll beat him on the bar exam. Whatever exam you want to give me, I'll take the ACT again. Let's go.
Jack, I don't have the BJ Heating. I did it again. I went back to the office and I did it again.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Again, I could do it from memory.